Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What a blessing it is for me to be with you today. And for those of you whom I've not met, I'm Steve Rudisill. I was a one-time rector here at Holy Innocents, but I have been retired for 17 years. Deacon Gary has retired too. And this just goes to show you, just because you think you're getting a little older, God's going to let up on you. Uh-uh. God picks on old people. This morning, in our gospel reading from the great prayer of Jesus in John's gospel, the high priestly prayer, Saint John gives us a glimpse into a quiet, intense moment in Jesus' earthly ministry. This is a moment which will be interrupted by confusion and anger and persecution, leading Jesus to be tried and to be crucified. This is the moment just before that. It takes place after Jesus washed his 12 disciples' dirty, calloused feet. That is an act that the lowliest servants would do to guests at a home at a dinner time. Jesus assumed that role of servant as an example to those 12 disciples. The enemies of Jesus were just around the corner. And Jesus offered this prayer. I'm just going to make one petition from it that I think is key, perhaps, to the whole thing. Jesus prays this to the Father. They overhear him. May they all be one. May they all be one as you and I are one. Jesus, through his ministry, was this close to the Father, constantly praying that he would embody the very love of God so that people could see that, experience it, and know it, and grow to emulate it as well. This was the intent of this petition. May they all be one. One with the Father and the Son, as you, God the Father, and I, the Son, are one. Knowing that he was not going to be with them physically for much longer, Jesus has to entrust to those 12 the ministry that he has carried on for a couple of years. And so he's asking the Father to protect them, to hold them in his care. And he prays that the Father will tend to them so that they will know God, they will always know they're in God's care, and they will live what God has called them to live, no matter what happens, no matter the cost. And as you may recall from the Gospels, Jesus is praying for these 12 men who often mess up and don't get it. Remember that? They get things wrong. He is entrusting his ministry to the likes of these. And he's praying that God will hold them steadfast in their life and ministry with him. May they all be one as you and I are one. We believe that that prayer for them has extended to the faithful through the generations, many generations, down to this very day, and is a prayer for us as well. As we go about our lives, the prayer is that we will be one with the Father and Son, as the Father and Son were together during the earthly ministry of Jesus. Imagine that now, that we may be one. Throughout his life, the beloved Son was in constant prayer that his ministry would be effective, that people would come to know the Father through him. And we believe that is true for you and me today as we are called and baptized as members of the body of Christ. We know that we will stray, err and stray like lost sheep, just as the disciples did. But we pray nevertheless that even as we do that, the Good Shepherd will come and bring us back so that we all may be one as he and the Father were one. In those early days, the disciples were called to love and to serve other people, and that would be all kinds of people. And you and I, we the church, are called to the same kind of ministry. But as we know, sometimes they didn't get it. And we know that sometimes we don't either. And we confess that. We will confess that a little later on in the service. We have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. A theological observer of today commented this way. He says this, and it is a huge challenge. He says, unless all of us, the religious groups in America, acknowledge and pledge to support one another in living and proclaiming the love of Jesus, staying in constant communion with one another and community with one another, the divisiveness which people see within the church today, this denomination, that one, all these, waters it down. And the world sees this. And as you know, religion in this country is on the decline. We are divided. Can we, through the differences we may have, can we become a model of the love and forgiveness and generosity of God so that the world will know that and want to be part of that, affiliated with that? Can we do that? One small group of religious people, in one moment several years ago, demonstrated how the love of God can connect us all as disciples of Jesus. How many of you have been to the Pennsylvania Dutch area of Pennsylvania? Have you been there? You know what a beautiful, beautiful place that is. And where It's predominantly Mennonite and Amish and the farms they have, the care they take of it, the animals, their produce. Very simple people. Very simple. These people immigrated to this country from a part of Germany that was at war and there was famine. And they had had it with all of that. They couldn't tolerate it. And so they immigrated to America and settled in that area of Pennsylvania, the Amish and the Mennonites. I don't know how much you know about them, but they were so fed up with wars and fighting that they decided that they would not wear buttons. They don't wear buttons. They use pins. They don't want anything to look military. Fighting. They are pacifists through and through. They're hardworking people. They don't have electricity. They don't use it. I haven't been there recently. I don't think they would have cell phones. I know they had telephones at the end of their driveway, but they wouldn't allow them in the house. They do not want their pictures taken. They live very simply on the land there. Very faithful. Come from a very strong Christian tradition based on the Bible. On October the 2nd, 2008, which is about 15 years ago, a man who lived in that area knew these people. He wasn't one of them, but he lived there with his wife and children. On that day, he entered that tiny one-room Amish schoolhouse, ordered the teachers and boys out on the lawn, shut the door, and started firing his pistol left and right and up and down, killing 5 people, including himself, which he committed suicide at the end, and injured the others severely. When the news got out about this incident, it stunned the world. It may not stun us as much today because we've seen a lot of that over the years recently. But it stunned the world that these peaceful people would be violated in such a way. But what stunned the people even more was the response of the Amish community. Speaking on behalf of the community, one member said to everyone, "I don't think there is anybody here who wants to do anything but forgive and not only reach out to those who have suffered such a loss in that way, but also to reach out to the family of the man who had done this." Members of the Amish Mennonite community went to the home of the shooter, and his parents to comfort them, telling them that forgiveness was in their hearts. One Amish man held the sobbing father of the man who had done the shooting, a man so racked with confusion because he was angry with his son, but he had also lost his son. This Amish man held this man as he sobbed into his shoulder for an hour. The Amish community set up a charitable fund for the widow and children of the shooter. And then, at the funeral of the shooter, the Amish community showed up again and stood shoulder and shoulder together, making a human barrier to give the grieving family privacy from the news media who wanted to take pictures of it. And the irony of them doing this is that they did not like to have their pictures taken. But they were willing to do that to protect this family that was grieving from the onslaught of photographers and videographers and so forth. You see, these people believed the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us, Father, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. In other words, we don't get forgiveness from God unless we forgive those who have sinned against us. It's a pretty strong prayer. They believed that. They believed it. They believed what Jesus said on the cross. Hanging there in agony, and those who had pierced his side, who bound him to the cross, standing down there, he said, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." I remember a number of years before that, when Hurricane Camille unleashed his fury on the Piedmont section of Virginia, which is where I grew up, and that's at the foot of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And in the county next to the one I grew up in, it was the most fierce. In fact, the mountains crumbled. And the rocks and the dirt and the rivers and everything came flooding down, destroying people's homes, destroying their lives, and a lot of people were never found. It was a disaster. The first people to show up with love in their hearts and willing to do back-breaking work were the Mennonites and the Amish. The world woke up and saw what love looks like, what forgiveness looks like, from people who wanted to stay private. But they were willing to stand up for what they believed and work it out in whatever way they needed to, because they knew that God was calling them to do that. And so that makes me wonder. It makes me wonder. What if we, the Episcopalians, shoulder to shoulder with the Roman Catholics, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Methodists, all the other Christian faiths, could make an active public witness together to the love, to the generosity, and to the healing power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, going forth together, arm in arm, to take care of the starving people in this world whose numbers are really beyond counting. To the homeless, to the sick, to the thousands of refugees all over this world, an unimaginable number of refugees who are fleeing their beloved homes for safety and for opportunity. These numbers are huge. I just wonder if we, the Christian community, all of us, regardless of the titles we might have, all of us, using the resources, the talents, the gifts that God has given us, putting them all together to serve the needy of the world. Keeping in mind the priestly prayer of Jesus, may they all be one. May they all be one as you and I are one.